way, this is really a real encouragement. I get to teach students at Moody Bible Institute and have been there for 13 years. And part of what we're hoping to train them to do is to study the Word of God like you're doing it. What, you meet every week and do this?
We meet on Fridays, yeah.
And we're hoping to equip them to lead Bible studies, which we push them right into pretty quickly. One of the courses that they take right away is a course on studying and teaching the Bible, and then push them a little further with a course on hermeneutics or Bible study methods to look at various interpretations and try to make sense of them all. That's a course I have the privilege of teaching regularly. And then delving into Bible backgrounds. You're studying this quite admittedly from a Jewish perspective, which is pretty difficult to get that in most church environments today, right? So trying to put Jesus in his own world and context instead of make him an American and try to read him from our perspective and make him speak with our accent to try to bridge the gaps. And I think that's part of the challenge of Bible study. So in my own journey, I remember taking a course like that in a Bible college setting and reading the textbook that said that we have to bridge the gap between the modern reader and the ancient text, and that there are these four gaps between our world and their world: the language, history, culture, and geography. And it looks like you've been trying to pull that together in the life of Jesus, and individual words that he would use to parse those and try to figure out what was meant by the individual words of the language. History, what were the events? And so we hear about Vespasian and Titus and various rabbinic groups and their particular persuasions and interpretations. And so you're bridging that gap of history. And then the culture. We're talking about the Jewish feasts that I see as we go through these pages. And even the geography. We're talking about whether they were in Jerusalem or in the Galilee. So it's very encouraging to see everywhere you go, you can meet believers who are following the Lord, whether it's in the NFL or here in Naples or Chicago, or kind of like what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So even though this is my first opportunity to get to meet you, it's very encouraging to see, hey, what Yeshua spoke about is happening, you know. But this is how it ought to be, that everywhere you go, you find believers who are seeking to study his word, to know him better, to grow in our own individual walks with him. May it impact our lives, and may we have a better understanding of who he is so that we can have a better understanding of how we should follow him. So I'm really encouraged. Brother?
I have a quick question. It may be really a poor question, but how do you take a Jewish person that has been brought up Jewish, that believes that Jesus is the prophet and not the Messiah? How do you take that individual from all those years of being groomed, if you will, from his parents and the synagogue and so on, and now you come in and bring this individual and say to him, let me show you why you're wrong. Let me show you why he is the Messiah and not a prophet. How do you do that?
Well, so I'm reminded of this professor who went on tour, and he had a driver taking him everywhere, and every day he would give the same lecture in all these different places around on his speaking tour, and then he was really worn out one day, and so he said, you've heard this, Albert, he was really worn out, and the driver said, well, Prof, you know, if you want, I've heard you deliver this lecture hundreds of times, I could probably stand in for you. These people have never met you before, they'll never know. So, sure enough, he lets the driver do it, and the prof just kind of sat in the back row. And then when someone asked a real tough question at the end of the lecture, there was the driver, and he wasn't really prepared for it. And so he said, you know, that's such an easy question. Even my driver could answer the question. He pointed to the prof in the back row and said, why don't you take care of that? So, Steve. And,
Wow, what
so
an intro.
Like that. And so Steve grew up walking to yeshiva, walking to a synagogue every Saturday morning with wearing the kippah, going to religious school.
Mm-hmm.
How would you answer that question? Where do you begin if a person has...
For me, it's based in Scripture.
Right.
That's how you do it. You know, for me, the Old Testament and the New Testament are just incredibly interlaced.
Those words aren't even appropriate, Old Testament and New Testament. Those are English. Those are our words.
Those are our words. It's just all one. I can see the connection. I can see how it how it's supposed to come together. And I'm a new believer. Not even a year.
Welcome, brother.
And
by the way, as you know, Naples is a Jewish Jerusalem. We're like the Jerusalem of the South. We got so many Jews down here. I'm glad you're here, Steve. I'm glad you're here, Steve, because we all often get a lot of questions like, "How did Jews feel? How did Jews feel?" And I'm like, I'm not Jewish, but I have to refer to like John Mark or just my own. So we could actually have you for the whole the weekend taking questions.
I came from a very Jewish background, but unfortunately, like a lot of people that are religious, we say the same prayers, and whether it's Jewish or Christian, a lot of times people go to services and they say the prayers, but they're not delving into the Scripture. And I didn't come from a background that delved deep into Scripture.
Well, when someone asks you,
but hey, Luke, I'm sorry, can I say,
sure.
Well, you know what? That's common in Christian churches.
That's what I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a zillion Christian churches where people go and hear the words and they have no idea what's going on.
And
it's very culturally, very similar phenomenon.
Same thing in the Jewish community, too. You know, unless you want to be a scholar and really, you know, delve into it, most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started, kind of as a concession to my wife to go to Bible study. And I went to Bible study fellowship.
Is your wife Jewish?
No, my wife's Jewish. And so I started with Genesis, and it's where the connection between sin and God's intolerance of any kind of sin. How do we deal with it? These things started going on in my mind. And, I could go on forever, but eventually it all came together. I had a lot of help from there was a small army of people praying for me. There was some excellent books I read on Messianic Jews that put some of this together for me, and so I had a fantastic epiphany in coming to faith, and I'm sure everybody here has a coming to faith story. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, and now I'm just got this voracious appetite to get into the Bible and read this stuff, because I just love history. This is like the best history book you could ever have.
Well, I have one more dumb question. Back in the old days, when I was Roman Catholic, I went into the hospital and they asked me what religion.
Mm.
I said Roman Catholic.
Right.
Now, today, I go in the hospital and I say I'm a Christian.
Right.
Because that's how I truly believe. If someone asks you that Kevin came from the Jewish faith, and now you do believe that he is the Messiah, do you say Jewish or do you say Christian?
Well, I consider myself a Messianic Jew. Okay, I belong to a congregation which Tim helps lead here, and this is a congregation which is half Gentile, half Jewish. The Jewish part of the congregation wants to understand the New Testament the Gentile part of the congregation wants to understand the Jewish connection. So it's a really wonderful thing. So we have kind of a half and half service. We have some traditional Jewish services, and then we'll and it's a studying type service. So we'll get into, like, right now we're into Acts or finishing Acts. And so
one thing we talk about too, does the Bible look at people as Jew or Christian?
No.
Absolutely not. How does the Bible look at people?
Jew and Gentile.
Jew and Gentile. So it's not a matter of whether you're Jewish or Christian, it's are you Jew or Gentile?
Yeah.
And if you're Jew, or do you follow Messiah or not? If you're a Gentile, do you follow Messiah or not?
Yeah. Right. Gotcha. And that's how.
I think Lou's question is also applicable to back to when Jesus was walking on the earth. I mean, basically, he was reaching out to the Jewish people. And his response, what comes to my head, is, it is written. It is written. Mm-hmm. It is written. It is written. And your teaching throughout has been, these guys didn't have the New Testament because it wasn't written yet. They were using the existing book. Mm-hmm. And I think if we want to really reach out to not just Hebrews, but everybody.
Muslims, green people, red people.
That's what Jeff Gibson's working with real well. Is you, but it's using and when God had his Super Bowl with the devil, his sword was it is written, it is written, it is written. So I think it's not only that we need to read it, but you know, in the Marines, I have a friend whose son just went through basic. You don't just look at the Marine Corps handbook, you memorize a lot of it. It doesn't matter if you didn't make A's in school, you still have to memorize it. And I think it's the same thing here. If we memorize this and get comfortable with those stories and be able to tell them, not just with a piece of paper. Like last week I went to a Gulf Coast High School basketball game, and the gal sang the Star Spangled Banner, and she had a cheat sheet card. She was singing the Star Spangled Banner. I'm thinking, where are you from? I know the Star Spangled Banner. Anyway, and I think I was really distracted by that. The fact that she had a 3x5 card as she was singing, and she sang great. But I was so distracted by her looking at, and she was pausing a little bit when she was singing. And I think we have the same, unless it's in there and it just flows, we're not going to have it.
I loved Chris's comment a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, can you lead someone to Christ or guide them using the Old Testament scriptures? So that's pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think most Christians, Gentile believers, could actually do that. And that was a real good challenge for me to go back and go, yeah, okay, could I do it without going down the Roman road? Right?
Yeah. All right, well, it's 9, so could you pray for us?
Yeah, it'd be an honor. Thanks again for letting us come to your study. What a blessing to hear what you're doing.
It's going to be great on Monday.
We won't hold the fact that you're Dave Gerlich's friend against you.
Hey, thanks, that's important. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, for revealing yourself through the Word. The Word written and the Word made flesh. Thank you for this study that's been meeting for years now, looking at the life of Yeshua the Messiah. We pray that you would help us not only to understand the intricate details that you've chosen to reveal, but also the life application lessons for ourselves, that we might, like your original disciples who at times misunderstood, at times fell away, at times disobeyed, at times lacked in faith, that you would encourage us as your disciples today, that you still received them and you still greatly used them as they submitted themselves to you, as they repented, as they relied on the power of your Holy Spirit, you enabled them to become witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we pray that you would help us in the same way, that by your Spirit's power we would follow you and obey you and be empowered to serve you. So thank you for this group, and we pray that it would flourish in its witness and testimony for you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.